Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I just want to develop this thought here. And just touch on three things tonight. And we'll just consider verses 19 down to 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, not being without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Let's pray. Father God, we approach your word, Father, expecting, Lord, your hand to be upon us, Father, to help us and to draw these truths and apply them to our lives, Father. I pray that you would work in our midst tonight, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified through the response of your people. Help me, Father, to say the things that you would have me to say, to refrain from those things that you would have me not to say, Father. And that you would speak through me and that you would use your word today to affect the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So here, the Apostle Paul, obviously we looked at chapter 9 today, but continuing on a different vein, but still in relation to the gospel, is how we are to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe this heart of Paul is something that we should also have, not just the pressing down, the compulsion to preach the gospel to others, but this desire, and I entitled the message, "For the sake of the gospel, save some." Okay? For the sake of the gospel, save some. I believe in Paul's heart there was a desire, such a desire that he would do whatever it would take to reach others for Jesus Christ. Now, I don't feel that we need to explain myself too much along those lines, that obviously he was not going to compromise the authority of God's word in order to reach others for Jesus Christ. But any liberty that he had, he was willing to lay it down and aside in order that others might come to Jesus Christ. The things that were his preferences, his desires, perhaps things that he had planned for his own life, he was willing to lay it aside in order to reach others for Jesus Christ. And I believe if we want to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ, we must catch the vision that Paul had here, and should I say the burden that Paul had here, and should I also say the grace that Paul had upon him, that he would reach some people for Jesus Christ. And may God help us to have this. I think for many of us, and it is the danger for even if we're not this way inclined, but for many of us, we need to be careful lest we segment ministry and life. There is a danger in doing that. Sure, that we need to understand that we need to have a life that is governed by the Spirit of God. And in saying that, our priorities will not conflict. We understand that. But the question often lies, do we have our priorities in the right place in order for us to be able to serve God as ever how God would lead us? We need to be careful lest we segment our life, as it were, and say, well, this is the ministry and this is my life. And God, you don't intrude in my life. But when it comes to ministry, you have full liberty, Lord. But you don't have liberty in the aspects which I labeled my life. This is dangerous because this is contrary, number one, to the spirit of the New Testament. Number two, from this passage, we'll find this was contrary to the ministry of the Apostle Paul. There was a very real sense in where the ministry was his life, people were his life. Christ was his life. And he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And for Paul, that meant reaching others with the gospel was everything to him. That was his overwhelming desire to do that. And we need to be careful lest we don't segment our lives. God wants the whole pie, okay? We're not meant to cut our life into segments and say, God, you take this part, but don't you dare touch that part, okay? God wants the whole lot. It belongs to him. And when Jesus called people to follow him, he often showed this very truth, that if you wanted to be my disciple, I'm not going to just take your Sundays and your Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and your Wednesday nights. I want the whole lot. And he said this to people, and he said in Luke chapter 9, verse 59 to 62, there was a man that came to him and wanted to follow the Lord, but he said, let me first go and bury my father. You see, he had plans. He said, I wanted to wait until I would receive the inheritance that belonged to me rightfully, because if he didn't bury his father, he wouldn't have had the inheritance. And I want to go, and then I'll follow you, Jesus. He said, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And what he was simply was saying is that if you want to follow me, I'm going to take the whole. I want to be number one in your affairs. I want to be able to lead you and guide you, even in this most, I guess, sensitive area called family. And this is what Jesus often repeatedly addressed people that wanted to follow him. You know, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. You want to follow me? Well, mate, there's no guarantee of a permanent residence. I can't guarantee five-star hotels or comfortable living. What I can guarantee is that I'll provide for your needs. But this is what the Lord's doing. What is he doing? He's calling people out of this mentality of I'll have God on this side and I have just me on that side. You know, I'll just divide it up. God's calling for full commitment. You know, there's another man that said, let me first bid them farewell, which are at my home at my house. But Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And this is some serious statements by the Lord. But what is he saying here? Well, in essence, what he's saying is, don't cut your life up into pieces like a pie and give me some and keep the other. I want the whole. I want everything. And he will often touch areas of our life that are most sensitive to us in order to test us regarding this thing. And we need to be careful lest we come into this mentality where we would say, Lord, here but not there. Can I just say that if we have this mentality, we will not be able to reach people effectively for Jesus Christ. We can't have the mentality that like we do when we go to our workplaces. That's not the mentality that we have when we do the Lord's work. When we go to our work, I used to work at Officeworks and I'd log in. And then when I'd finish, I'd log off. And when I logged off, I was out of there. It's done. I mean, I've finished my shift. It's over. So if I would walk out and a customer in the car park, you know, wanted to ask me something, there was the temptation of just, I've finished my shift. Go ask one of the boys inside. But the reality was that I, as a servant of Jesus Christ, am always on duty. I am always open. I'm always willing. I need to be always ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with lost and dying sinners. We cannot have the mentality log in and log off. And Paul's saying here, this is not the mentality of a gospel witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. And can I just say, to live this way requires the grace of God. And look what Paul says in verse number 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And Paul said, here I'm a free man. I'm free in Christ Jesus. I'm not actually a physical slave to anyone, but even spiritually I'm free. I'm in Christ. I have liberty to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But those liberties I lay down and I become a servant to all men. Why? Because I want to reach them. I want to gain more people for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's the mentality that Paul had. I want to become a servant all the time to all men that I might reach as many as I can in the days that God has given me on this earth. Becoming all things to all men requires a lot of grace. Verse 20, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. Now think about that for a moment. For many of us, we have a very routine life. We know what we're going to. We eat three meals a day, and we sleep at certain times. I like to sleep early. That's just my thing. I like to get up early, sleep early. We have just routine, and this is what we do. Now, this is not wrong in and of itself, but what if God said that's going to change because there's souls that need to be won? What if God said to you, you know what? I know you sleep at this time, but tonight, there's a soul here that's come to the meetings that need to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and he's put him along your path. How would we respond to that? Out of my comfort zone? Perhaps it doesn't fit with my schedule? Well, God's saying, hang on a minute. If you want to be effective in reaching these people, You got to learn to become all things to all men, that you might by all means save some. And Paul here mentions the Jews. To the Jews, I became a Jew. The Jews had national, activities that they did, national festivals, national customs and cultures that they had. And the Apostle Paul wasn't afraid to be able to not offend them, okay, by just ignoring and disregarding. Now, did Paul have to do these things? No, he didn't. Was it against God to do them? No, it wasn't. But Paul said, I have a burden for these people that I'm willing to, as it were, roll up my sleeves and help. I'm willing to get my hands dirty, okay? Not dirty with sin, you understand what I'm saying here. I'm willing to get into the mud that I can reach people for Jesus Christ. I'm willing and I'm ready to stink like fish if I want to be a fisherman, okay? Does that make sense? You want to catch fish and not smell like fish? Go to Woolies, buy a packet of fish, put it in the oven. There's your fish tonight, okay? That's about all you're going to have, okay? But if you want to catch fish, get ready. You're going to smell fishy, okay? If you want to, working in God's vineyard, you're going to get dirty. And what he's saying here, that if you want to serve God and reach people for Jesus Christ, you can't go without getting involved and getting into the action, okay? And that's what the ministry of evangelism requires, getting in the action, okay? And getting in the action means a bit of out of the comfort zone, should I say, a bit uncomfortable. And we need to be ready and we need to be willing to do that. And that begins by understanding that although I am free, I am ready to be a servant to all, that I might by all means, I might gain some more, okay? And this is the mentality of the Apostle Paul. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a wonderful thing that the Apostle Paul, who was a mighty man of God, who before was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a man of knowledge and of intellect and of power, he laid all this down and he won Christ. And after he was converted, he realized that although he had all this capability, all this, this wisdom and all this power, he laid it all down and he simply just said, I want to serve people. This is what I want to do. I want to see people saved. And I don't care what it takes, I'm willing to lay down all my liberties that I might gain more people for Jesus Christ. This is the attitude of a soul winner, and that takes grace. And we need the grace of God to reach people, brethren. It really takes sacrifice. It takes grace, it takes sacrifice to reach. They said, those under the law, I became as those under the law. He didn't want to offend people. So when he went to go invite people from the Jewish custom to his house, he did not put on a pork roast. Okay, why? Because he understood that this is going to affect reaching people for Jesus Christ. He didn't, maybe there was on the Sabbath day, he knew that he had all the liberty to work, but in the culture that he lived in, people did not work on the Sabbath day because that's how they were under the law. So he said, I'm not going to work on the Sabbath day, lest that would affect my preaching of the gospel. Could he have worked? Yes. Was it, he could have had liberty to do that, but I'm letting that go because I want to reach people for Jesus Christ, and I don't want my liberties to be a stumbling block to others that they won't come to Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul's saying here. That's Romans 14. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And that's what the Bible's teaching us, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the mentality that Paul had, that I want to be used of God as a servant to lost souls that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Brethren, we must understand this truth if we want to reach people for Jesus Christ. This, like I said, this is not a matter of being carnal, and this is not a matter of dropping your moral standards and your convictions in order to reach people for Jesus Christ. Like Pastor Christie mentioned this morning, you don't have to go a publican, you don't have to go into the pub. He was talking about publicans, not that that's related, but you don't have to go into the pub to reach people and mar your testimony for Jesus Christ. How about you just stand across the road from the pub and get them as they come out? Okay, we can do that. All right, but the reality is, he's saying here, not that we are to mar our testimony or to mar the name of Christ or in any way to compromise our God-given convictions and standards. But what he's simply saying is there are many things that we do in our lives that are not necessarily important. Okay, yes, to us they may be important, but if they are going to affect the reaching of souls, we must be ready to lay it down. We must be ready to sacrifice it to the Lord. And we need to have this flexibility. To the weak, I became as weak. You know, and also he says to the not only to the Jew, to them without the law, to the Gentiles, he also had to, you know, adjust. And what I see here is a man that was flexible. Okay, flexible. He was flexible. He was willing to adjust his methods of preaching, but he would adjust his himself, should I say, to be more adaptable to the culture that he's in. Just the simple presentation there in PNG, we'll show you a little bit about that. Okay, you know, I would not walk in mud just for the sake of walking in mud here in Australia. I would actually walk all the way around, okay? But perhaps if I was to be someone that all these Papua New Guineans are walking through the mud, but here I am as someone that walks all the way around. Well, what's wrong with this guy? You know, are we doing something wrong here? He doesn't like mud. What's wrong? You know, they live in mud. You get what I'm saying? That can offend people. Oh, here we are eating this meal in the kitchen, but all of a sudden, we have white man's food, we have black man's food. Oh, hang on a minute. No, by all means might save some. I'm not going to be a stumbling block, and I'm going to lay aside my liberties in order to reach people for Jesus Christ. Now, this is more, should I say, more of a reality on the mission field. But nevertheless, brethren, the application, and there are still many things in this multicultural country that we need to understand in reaching people for Jesus Christ. There's a lot of Muslims in the community. There's a lot of people from other cultures in the community, Middle Eastern cultures and other things. You know, even this church is made up of people of different cultures. And praise God for that. But we need to understand that we've got to be flexible. Okay? We've got to be flexible if we want to reach people for Jesus Christ. We don't want to be an offense by our life. And that takes grace. That takes a surrender. That takes a sense of humility just to say, you know, I'm willing to get my hands dirty. I'm willing to risk some of my comforts. I'm willing to give up some of those things that are not important, maybe important to me, but not important to God. And for the sake of reaching these lost souls, I'm willing to do that. Give up time, give up effort, give up energy just for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to have this mentality. And I'll give you some examples of this. Maybe it'll help us a little bit get our heads around it. When you're reaching kids with the gospel of Jesus Christ, do not give them a university lecture. Okay, that's not becoming all things to all men. We reach children like we speak as children speak if we want to reach children. Amen. Okay, if you want to go to the nursing home and reach elderly people, speak up, okay, so they can hear you. Amen? Amen. Okay, become all things to all men that you might by all means gain some. Okay, you know, you want to reach people out there on the streets, and you're going to understand when you're out there, you're going to meet all sorts of people, all different, very colorful people out there in the world today. Okay, you're going to meet drunkards, you're going to meet people of broken families, broken homes, people that have been abused, not only sexually, but physically. They've been, you know, beaten up by you know, ungodly husbands in this wicked society, people that are on drugs, people that are on alcohol. This is not uncommon in our day, brethren, when you're out on the streets preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are the people that we will encounter when we want to share Christ with others. The question is, are we ready to be flexible? Okay, are we ready? Meet a homeless man on the street. You know, I want to reach him for Jesus Christ, but I won't touch him. I won't shake his hand. You know, or I won't invite him to church just in case he makes the church smell. You know, this kind of mentality is not biblical. Okay, this is not what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying, I'm willing and ready to do whatever it takes in those senses in that way that I might see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said it's not about me. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's about sinners coming to the Savior. And he said, I'm willing to let it all down. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to reach people for Jesus Christ. This is the mentality that we must have. We're living in a day where, you know, we see the rise of homosexuality. And if we want to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ, we must guard against homophobia, as it were. You know, and we are to preach against this. We are to call them to repent from this wicked sin against God. There is no doubt about that. But the reality is, brethren, that as the days are changing, we must be understanding that we must become more flexible in reaching out to all kinds of people. Do you understand this, brethren? And that might, you know, and if we're going to have a heart that is not filled with the grace of God and with the willingness to lay down the things that our comforts and our, you know, our desires, well, we're not going to be used for God as much as He would like to use us. you know, to reach people for Jesus Christ. Even the Apostle Paul, he understood this. He went to Athens and he was preaching to the people there on Mars Hill. And his message, he mentioned the God of heaven and earth, the Creator God. Okay, he didn't start with Abraham, with them, because for them, Abraham, who? Abraham, what? Yeah. So he's like, okay, let me tell you, the God that created heaven and earth, this unknown God that you worship, let me tell you a little bit about this unknown God. I'm going to take you, point you to the stars of heaven. I'm going to talk about the Creator to you, and I'm going to bring this message very close to home for you people. Even I'm going to have the liberty to say, as your poets have said, that ye are the offspring of God, and draw that truth into the truth of Scripture and say unto them, you need to repent from your idolatry and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's flexibility in our gospel message. We are not an automated message, you know, where we walk up to a sinner, push play, Jesus loves you, died on the cross for your sins, and then walk away. This is not the way that the preaching of the gospel ought to be. The flexibility that Paul had in his ministry when he reached the Jews, he told them about Abraham. He told them about their forefathers, that he might gain them and understand them and reach them for Jesus Christ. You see the flexibility of the apostle? He was versatile in his ministry, that he was led of the Spirit of God to reach different people for the cause of Jesus Christ. And brethren, this must be our understanding if we want to be effective for the cause of Jesus Christ. Our comforts, we need to say goodbye to. Doesn't mean God's going to take them all away from you, but we must first say goodbye to them so that he might have liberty to say, okay, today you're not going to have that comfort because there's a soul in need of a Savior there. You know, we like to be spoken to in a very respectable manner, okay? But if we want to get in with the people and get our hands dirty and smell like fish, we're going to be talked to in a rough manner from time to time. And I know that that's uncomfortable, but the reality is Paul's saying, I just want to see some people saved. I just want to see people come to Jesus. I'm not concerned about how they treat me. I'm not really concerned about how they look upon me. I'm not really concerned whether I gain their respect or whatever it may be. I just want to see them come to Jesus. And I'm willing to do what it takes. I remember we were on the streets in Chatswood several years ago, and my wife and I were handing out tracts there on a Sunday afternoon. We just felt led of the Lord to go out. So we went out and handed out some tracts. And we handed some gospel tract to a couple from Iran, a Muslim couple. And he came back and he said, I can't stay for long, but I really want to know more about this. So I got his number and he went off. And we had, you know, one of the first things Natalie said to me, okay, let's invite them over for dinner. I said, praise God. Wonderful. Hospitality. That's the way that we can become all things to all men. Get them in your home. Open up. Be comfortable. Okay, we sat down. We went through the scriptures with them. We showed them a good gospel presentation, a DVD. And I think it was soon after that that we saw these people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And can I just say, if I said to them, look, you know, if I was closed to the idea of showing them that we want to reach you and we're willing to do what it takes to help you, let's go out, let's sit down, have a bite to eat, come into my home. All these things are showing people that I really care about you and about your soul, and I know you need Jesus. Okay, and this is not about compromising the message. This is not about lifestyle gospel, brethren. But what this is about is that we must be people that are willing to step down as a servant and become a servant to all men. That means you're willing to serve people in whatever capacity they need, in their time. We've got to be flexible in that way. The Apostle Paul was not concerned about comforts. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Well, you know, we've got the pressures of life that squeeze us, that our ministry is squeezing us. But, you know, we're not entirely confined. We're not entirely held down. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, we are perplexed but not in despair. You know, we have our resources that are failing and all these things are happening, but God doesn't leave us helpless. You know, we're persecuted but we're not forsaken. You know, we're being chased by our enemies to destroy us, but God's still with us. You know, he's saying we're cast down but not destroyed. Even there are times that the persecutors have prevailed and we've been left for dead. But the reality is we were not destroyed because God still gave us the victory and got us the strength to get back up. And he says in verse number 12, he goes, so death worketh in us, but life in you. What is he saying here? He's saying, I'm willing to die daily to my loves, my ambitions, my desires, because you know what's more important than me getting what I want in life and me being comfortable? It's the salvation of lost souls. That's more important, brethren. It's more important. And I'm going to ask you this question. What is it that holds you back from sharing Christ with others? What is it? I don't want to pick him up for church and bring him to the gospel meetings because he smells like cigarettes and my car will smell like cigarettes. Brethren, become all things to all men that you might win some. You know, I just feel really uncomfortable. Okay, sure, in the car with him. Okay, get someone else to come. There's no, let's go, brethren. Let's do all things. Let's be willing to become all things to all men that we might win some. That we might see God do a work in the hearts and lives of many. Paul said, give none offense, neither to Jews, nor to Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That's 1 Corinthians 10, 32 and 33. Jesus showed us this, didn't he? When he sat with the publicans and sinners and the wine bibbers. Not that he was partaking in their sin, not that he was going to their places of sinfulness, but he was showing that he cares about publicans and sinners too. And when the Pharisees murmured in Luke chapter 15, they murmured, Jesus started to proceed to tell them that God loves publicans and sinners and God receives publicans and sinners. So Jesus is saying, I'm here receiving publicans and sinners. What's wrong with you, Pharisees? You say you're the children of God? Okay, this is the heart of God. He wants to see people repent. And in order to see people repent, like I said, we have to be willing to get our hands dirty in the work. What's stopping you from getting your hands dirty in the work? He says that I might by all means save some. This is the goal of reaching. We need the grace to do that. But we see the goal of the Apostle Paul, that I might by all means save some. Can I just say to you, we understand the truth that God does the saving. Amen. One sows, another waters, but God gives the increase. And in fact, that's in the same epistle here. So we're understanding Paul's not saying that he's the one by whom salvation comes. He even preached, did Paul die for you? No, Christ died for you. But what he is saying here is that we are laborers together with God. And that I might by all means save some. Brethren, just save some. Just some. Isn't it amazing that Paul says that I might just save some? You know, he's just concerned about some. Yes, he wants the whole world to be saved, but he's like, just some will do, Lord. I just want to see some people come to the Lord. Brethren, do you just want to see some people come to the Lord? And are you willing to do whatever it takes in order to see some people come to the Lord? This is what Paul's saying here. I want to save some. I want to see some sinner come home. I want to see some lost sheep return to the fold. Even if it's just one. I know the shepherd would leave 99 just to go get that one. I just want to see this lost coin return to its owner. I just want to see this lost son return to his father. I just want to see one. I just want to see some come to Jesus. Is that our heart's desire? Just some. Lord, just give me one. Lord, just one. I want to see one. Can we at least say that? God, give me one. Give me one soul to reach for you, Lord God. Just one. We could say some. Lord, just one. Beg God for it. God will use you. He's desiring that all men will come to the knowledge of the truth. Maybe we could say, Lord, just one. Just some, Father. Just by all means, I'll do what it takes, Father God. Let me just see sinners come to you. This is Paul's heart. He's opening his heart to us, brethren. Because he wants us to catch this vision. To catch this understanding that it's not about me. I'll be a servant to every man if it just means I can see some people come to Jesus. You'll serve everybody just so you can see some come. I mean, you give up all your time just to see some come. Yeah, this is the burden of the Apostle Paul. This is the necessity that was laid upon him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he knows that it's God's desire that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he's right in line here with the will of God, would you admit? He's right in line here with God's heart, and he's saying, I want to see some people come to Jesus Christ. We have to be willing, brethren, to have our cold heart broken, our unhospitable demeanor changed, and we must be willing to do what Jesus did and take up a towel to reach people, okay, to take up a towel to show love towards sinners, show love towards people, do whatever it takes to reach people for Jesus Christ. You know, we can't, our lives have to match our message, okay? Our message says come to Jesus, right? Come to Jesus and he'll save you. Come to Jesus and he'll receive you. No matter the sin, no matter the addiction, no matter what you've been involved in and how miserable your life is, come to Jesus and he'll save you. And this is our message, right? We can't preach come to Jesus but don't come to me. We can't say come to Jesus but don't come to my house. We can't say come to Jesus but don't come to the church. Brethren, we must be in line with God's message. If God's going to receive them, shouldn't we? Shouldn't our hearts back our message? Shouldn't our lives back our message that if God is wanting to receive the most vile and wicked people in this nation, shouldn't we be willing to receive them? Shouldn't we be ready to say, God, I'll be a servant? Oh, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's Jesus. What about us? Is that our burden? I'll just, even though I deserve to be ministered to, Jesus could have said, you know, I deserve to minister to. I'm God. True. He's what he said. I'm God. I came from heaven's glory. I'm sinless. But here he is ministering and serving to publicans and sinners. Here he is, you know, just denying himself in order that they might have life, that they might have life eternal. What about us as his followers? Shouldn't that be our same heart, that we would love God not only with all our heart, but would love our neighbor as ourself? Oh, Lord, who is my neighbor? Let me tell you, who's your neighbor? The Samaritan, yeah. The Samaritan that was the enemy. The Jews did not like them. He was the neighbor. He was the one who was a neighbor to that Jew. That's our heart. This is how we need to be, brethren, like good Samaritans, willing to become a servant and help those that even are against us, that we might by all means save some. That's the goal. The goal is, Lord, just give me some. Just some people, just some sinner. There's a song that says, must I go on empty-handed? Thus, my dear Redeemer, meet. Not one day of service give him. Lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go on empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? What a challenge. Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? I truly believe that if our hearts are like Paul here, I'll do whatever it takes, Lord. I just want to see some people come to you. I believe God will give us souls for our labor. I really do. I really do. I really do. And it's not about how many people we can reach, as it were. Look, he's just letting us into his heart right here. This is the burden of his heart. It's not like, oh, I've reached 50 and you've reached 20. And, you know, no, this is not the mentality here. Just some, Lord. Just give me some. Just want to see one. One family member, one friend at school, one work colleague, Lord. Just one. Just some. Let me see some come to you, Lord. I'll do what it takes. What do you want me to do, Lord? I'll do it. I'll do it because my burden is to see people come to Jesus Christ. This is the burden of the Apostle Paul. And look at the ground for his reaching. Why, Paul? Why, Paul, are you doing all this? What's the reason? What is it that why is it that you're willing to become a servant of all? And you want to you know, just reach these people and you want to just save some? What is this? Look at this in verse number 23. This is what it is. Look, and this I do for the gospel's sake. And this I do for the gospel's sake. And this I do for the gospel's sake. You know what the Apostle Paul said? I do this, all that I do. I die daily, I suffer, I lay down my liberties, all to reach some sinner. But you know why I do, know why I do all this? I do it for the gospel's sake. Because 2,000 years ago, God became a man, lived a perfect, sinless life, humbled himself, became of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. He became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. He walked upon earth and he was rejected and despised of many. The Bible says a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And he did all this in the will of the Father, going up to that old rugged cross. And he died. And he bled. And he died. And he died not for his own sin. He died for my sin. He died for your sin. He died for the sins of the world. And here as he hung on that cross, he was bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. That his blood was shed and it might be made a ransom and an atonement, and all the other blessed things that the gospel provides to sinners, so that God might have that provision to rescue a perishing world. And then he was taken off that cross and placed in a tomb. And he was placed in a tomb, and after 3 days, brethren, he arose from the dead, proving and having victory over death and the grave, that he might also raise us up one day to live in His sight. And this, my friend, is called the gospel. And Paul said, I do all this because I met a man on that road to Damascus who died a sinner's death and paid the price for all my sin and set me free. This is the gospel. All that I do because I have in my heart and mind the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. Yes, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He's saying, I do what I do because for the sake of the gospel, I want to see some people saved. Because Christ died for sinners. That's why I want to see people saved. Because He came that we might live. So I want to see people live. Because He gave it all. I want to see people give it all to Him. Because He came. So I want sinners to come and know why He came for them. This is Paul saying here, I do all this for the gospel's sake. Look, is there not a cause, brethren? What other sake are you going to do it for? For your own sake? For the sake of building a bigger church? Well, what sake? What, for the sake of ticking the box that I've done my evangelism? For the sake of just being approved by those around me? Apostle Paul said, no, I do what I do. I become a servant to all men and I die daily. I do it for the gospel's sake. Because the greatest motivation is the cross. Brethren, look at the cross. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again, that we would live because of the gospel, that we would work because of the gospel, that we might by all means save some for the gospel's sake. Would you do it for the gospel's sake, brethren? That's a worthy cause. That's a worthy cause. And this is the heart and plea and cry of the Apostle Paul. And I guess the challenge for us is today, for the sake of the gospel, save some. Save some for the sake of the gospel. Be a laborer together with God. Sow your seed, water, pray. God will give the increase. Keep sowing. And brethren, there will be a harvest. There will. But we must do it for the gospel's sake. Because Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. I mean, just that gospel sake point right there is enough. It's enough. I don't need any other proof as to why I need to serve Jesus. Look at the cross, brethren. Maybe we've lost sight of the cross. Maybe some of us here today, we've stopped looking at the cross. We think, what you know, I'm going to serve people for Jesus Christ. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be afflicted. I'm going to be rejected and I'm going to have to deny my own comforts. For what? What's the purpose of that? For the gospel's sake. Would you do it for the gospel's sake? Would you see the cross? Would you see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one who paid the price for our sins? That's a worthy cause, brethren, is it not? That we who have received this blessed message would share it with others and do it for the gospel's sake. Paul was dead for the gospel's sake. Let us at least serve, brethren, for the gospel's sake, because we have a worthy Savior. Yeah, there's two Moravians, I may have told this story before, that wanted to go reach about 3,000 African slaves on an island. And the slave owner said, on this island there will be no preachers, no clergymen, no one. These two Moravians, though, knew that God wanted them to go and serve these people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they said the only way that they could go is if they became a slave. So they sold themselves into slavery and they jumped on that ship with those slaves going back as slaves to reach these Africans for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they left the harbor, they looked over outside and they saw their family there all crying and in tears, waving goodbye. Never to see them again. They were sold into slavery. They no longer belonged to themselves. But as they left the harbor, they cried out, "May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings." May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings. You know what they were saying? "And this we do for the gospel's sake." Why? For the gospel's sake. Because that Lamb that was slain on Calvary's tree, he deserves the reward of his suffering. To see some, just some, come to know him as Savior. Let's pray. Father God, our heart's desire is that we would not go on empty-handed, Lord. Father, but that you would give us souls for our hire, Father. Lord, help us to pray like John Knox of old, "Give me Scotland or I die." Father, the burden of his heart, Lord, that he might by all means save some. Father, teach us to have this flexibility of heart and mind, a surrendered and yieldedness to the Lord, that you would guide us and lead us as ever you will, Father God. Teach us, Father God, to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom, that we might, Lord, be willing and ready to do what it takes to reach some sinner with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we look to you to give the increase. O thou Lord of the harvest, we pray you'd send forth more laborers into your harvest field, that even here, Lord God, you would raise up more servants to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.